The following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is the third in a sermon series entitled, The Truth Will Set You Free. As we've been announcing, there's a book we just published that is a kind of a companion for the series entitled, 10 Transforming Truths. The book focuses on the central truths of Christian faith, while the sermon series focuses on how we come to know those truths. Both the book and the sermon series are grounded in the teaching of Jesus, where he said, "If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the most poignant vignettes in all of Scripture is the encounter between Jesus and Pontius Pilate, described in that passage we heard from the Gospel of John. Jesus embodies the power of God, but he chooses to express that power in self-sacrificial love. So before Pontius Pilate, he appears vulnerable. But he has no fear, for he knows in what strength he stands. Pontius Pilate embodies the power of Rome, enormous, visible, earthly power, which appeared invincible. Yet it was, in fact, a fleeting, contingent strength and an ephemeral glory. As Jesus said to him, "You have no power except what is granted to you from above." Jesus also embodies the justice of God. He acts in pure goodness and right. But before Pilate, he is the one being judged. The scripture reports how Pilate sat on the judge's bench. But Pilate's judgment is weak and seriously flawed, like the judgment of many of the world's rulers. He buckles under the pressure of the crowd, and he finally passes judgment, as political leaders often do, in line with political expediency. Ironically, it is Pontius Pilate who is now judged in the eyes of history as a failure, while it is Jesus who is acclaimed by Christians as the ultimate judge over all humanity. Most prominently, in the encounter with Pontius Pilate, Jesus embodies truth. As he said, "For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my words." But to this, Pilate responded, "What is truth?" Pilate here reflects an attitude that is widespread in our time, the notion that there is really no such thing as truth, at least not in any objective sense. Truth, it is held, is purely subjective. There is my truth and there is your truth. One truth is as valid as another. Certainly, there is value in recognizing that none of us perceives reality in a purely objective way. We all view the world from a particular cultural perspective, within a particular historical setting, through the lens of our own upbringing and our own experiences, and with the structures of our own thinking. So our perception of reality is always, to some extent, distorted. As the Apostle Paul said, we see through a glass dimly. But beyond our perspective, there is reality. There are some descriptions of reality that are much closer to the truth than others, and our well-being depends upon recognizing genuine truth. During this pandemic, there were some people who denied that COVID was a problem or even that it was real. But denying reality can put us in peril. There's an old story about a manager who was very concerned about the health of one of his employees, a man who was quite overweight, never exercised, and was a chain smoker. The manager insisted the man should go see a particular doctor for a checkup. The man finally went. The doctor was an athletic fellow whose great passion was talking to people about the importance of diet, exercise, and not smoking. The doctor examined the man and then launched into a stern and extended lecture about the condition of the man's health, not good, and all the lifestyle changes that the man needed to make. Finally, the doctor said, "All right, sir, what are you going to do about this?" The man replied, "I'm going to go out and find me a lazy doctor who smokes." If we don't like the truth that is being given to us, we can always reject it and go find someone who will tell us what we want to hear. This is commonly done today, and with social media, you can certainly find whatever rendition of truth that you want. During the Holy Week, crowds, along with the chief priests, did not like what they were hearing from Jesus, so they rejected him and called upon Pilate to get rid of him. But the truth abides, whether we accept it or not. In a sense, the whole biblical narrative is a case of God telling us the truth about ourselves. The scriptures point out a lot of unpleasant truths, uncomfortable truths, about how we fail to live rightly, how we mistreat one another, how we create unjust societies, how we end up in alienation and anxiety. The scriptures also tell us what we need to do, that we need to acknowledge God, turn to God in repentance, and open our hearts to God's redeeming power. And the scriptures give us the real prescription for our trouble. The answer is to be found in Jesus Christ, who reconciles us with God and who will then guide and empower us to live rightly in truth. This is what the Gospel of John was talking about in that passage we heard, which says, "The law was indeed given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." But the world often is like Pontius Pilate, disregarding realities and living in the midst of illusions. Pilate imagined that he was powerful. Many people today imagine that they have power and authority, but the reality is that anything that we are able to do is only because what has been granted to us by God. Our own power is tiny and fleeting. Pilate imagined that he was the judge. Many people today love to make their own rules and think that they are calling the shots. But the reality is that we are all accountable, finally, to God. Pilate imagined that truth is malleable. Many people today imagine that the truth is whatever they want it to be. But in the midst of all those illusions, Pilate missed the real truth, which was standing right in front of him. When the gospel says that the law was given through Moses, it's observing how God throughout Old Testament times was progressively revealing truth to people. And when it says that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, is observing that truth now is completely revealed to us in Christ. Jesus shows us clearly the truth about ourselves, how we are people loved by God, who, however, have alienated ourselves from God and fallen into all sorts of wrongful acts of living, who, however, by God's grace in Jesus Christ, can be restored into fellowship with God. Jesus shines the light of God's truth on our human problem, all the ways that we fall short of God's goodness, and at the same time, Jesus provides the way forward into redemption and genuine life with God. But while the truth is shown to us supremely in Jesus, the key question is whether we finally will perceive it. There's an ancient Arab tale about a Bedouin named Nasreddin. One evening, Nasreddin went into his tent, lit a candle, and settled down with a bowl of figs. He was really looking forward to eating those figs. He had four of them. But as he picked up a fig, he noticed that it was full of worms. He tossed it aside and picked up another fig. It was covered with worms. He threw it aside and picked up a third fig. It had worms on it. So he blew out the candle and ate the fourth. Sometimes people prefer to just not see or acknowledge the truth. especially if it is an unpleasant truth. We observe this commonly today. Last weekend, President Biden affirmed the reality of the Armenian genocide, but Turkey adamantly refuses to admit the clear reality of its own past. Across a number of months here in America, there have been quite a few incidents which have pointed to the reality of racism in our society. But some folks are reluctant to acknowledge that. People often do not want to see the truth if it involves wrongs that would diminish their own self-perception or their own standing or their own goals, whether those wrongs are in their country or in their political party or in their social group or in themselves. As Jesus said, people have loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But it is only when we acknowledge truth that we are on a path to wholeness and well-being. One of the very striking features of the entire biblical story is the way in which biblical writers unveil the plain truth about their society and themselves in a fashion completely different from what commonly prevails in the rest of the world. All nations tell epics about their national story, and very often those epics are a shined-up, glossy version of the actual events. We have done this for a long time in America. For many years, we told heroic stories about the early discoverers and pilgrim landings and pioneers and westward expansion and victorious battles. And somehow we never said much about slave labor or the annihilation of native tribes. Today, there's a much more honest assessment of our past. And while not everyone is comfortable with that, such an unvarnished review of our story is much more the biblical approach. When the biblical writers looked at their past, they saw every sin clearly. Other nations glorified the great leaders of their past. Now, we've raised up all sorts of statues, all kinds of people, but the Bible presents even the most prominent kings of Israel as seriously flawed. The biblical writers realized that it is only through such honesty that we are able as a people to positively change and to spiritually grow. The Bible urges each of us to look at ourselves and to look at our society with that sort of honesty, because it is then that we can be receptive to God's transforming grace and power. When Jesus said that the truth will set you free, he was pointing to the fact that it is in seeing things truthfully that we finally can be set free from all that would weigh us down. We are called to see clearly our own weaknesses and our own wrongs, to have no illusions about ourselves. At the same time, we are called to see clearly the love and grace and goodness of God offered to us in Jesus Christ, so that we can receive God's forgiveness, so that we can know God's accepting love, so that we can be guided in God's ways, and so that we can be filled with God's renewing power, which will enable us, finally, to live in and share God's truth. Let us pray. Open our eyes and our minds, O Lord, that we may see your truth and receive your truth for our own lives. And inspire us then to live in truth. We thank you that you draw us into your church, where we can live and grow in faith with one another. We reach out to persons who are sick or dealing with surgeries. We especially today pray for Mike Senek, Amy Senek, Phyllis Neal, Becky Malloy's sister. We reach out in spiritual fellowship to our fellow United Methodists and other congregations, and lift up particularly this morning the Charlestown United Methodist Church. Guide us, Lord, as we would open ourselves to how you are speaking to us, working in our lives today, that we might testify to your truth in our world. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church, visit www.kentmethodist.org.